Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to the channel. So now, well, Labour has definitely got its shoes under the desk. They're making announcements, supposedly making progress. Parliament's at its first sitting, and Sir Keir Starmer's jetting off to the NATO summit in Washington, D.C. to represent the United Kingdom. It's all falling into place. Labour's defence secretary has already been to Ukraine. We can now look in arrear at the 14 years of Conservative government. So what were its failures? I mean, why did the Conservative Party lose, aside from the campaign, that's been done to death? Now, I know one can't defy political gravity forever. What goes up must come down. You can't win them all. For a party to win five elections on the trot would be unhealthy for democracy. But anyway, analysing some of their failures. So economic growth was slow. There was a time under Theresa May, but it was 3%. And that's about as good as it gets for a highly developed economy. If you're a sort of tiny oil state like Qatar, it can be higher than that. For, you know, middling economies, for less economic developed countries, they can grow really fast, occasionally 10%. And now we've got to discount 2021 because COVID, the economy contracted about 10%. And 2021, it bounced back. And so that was simply readjusting, but in the ordinary cycle of things. So economic growth was not good. Some of this is attributable to the global situation, but the Conservative Party has to carry the can for some of it. You can't completely blame the world situation of which the government has a minimal control. So admittedly, the first 5 years, of course, the Conservatives were in office with the Liberal Democrats. And so there had to be some compromise. The Conservatives didn't do the things they wanted always. Sometimes they did them, but didn't go as far as they wanted for sake of keeping the coalition together. And because that was probably the only way to keep stable government. Could have been a minority Tory government. There were some Conservative grandees who advised David Cameron to simply form a government with less than 326 MPs. But they'd be hamstrung because the more contentious piece of legislation you couldn't get through could call an early election and hope to get a majority. Might not work, though. It did work for Harold Wilson. He came in 64, although he did actually have a majority, a very slight majority of, like, say, three, called an election 18 months later and was elected very handily. So the economy was going badly, mediocre, we'll say. And then not spending enough for the National Health Service. Everybody say the doctors and nurses and dentists, everybody's salaries is not keeping pace with inflation. That's true for teachers, for the armed forces. I was reading this about the British Armed Forces hemorrhaging people to the Australian Armed Forces, where pay is 50% higher. I mean, it's a no-brainer when they can transfer across, they're guaranteed to keep their rank. And obviously, as it was sort of modeled on British Armed Forces, they feel very welcome there and on. So that's a problem. Problem with retention more than recruitment. And in the NHS, it's not just obviously the staff, but whatever, the medicines, the equipment, not enough of that. And not enough training places, even they have them. I mean, they need 2,000, what is it, as anaesthetists, but there are only places for 900 of them to train for that. So these people, then they don't get to use the skill, have got the ability, the talent to do it. They do something else, or they even leave the country to become anaesthetists overseas. So there's just not this joined up thinking. What else has gone wrong? I mean, way too much money spent on High Speed 2. High Speed 2 was actually originally a Labour idea. Cameron decided to go with it. He was given the imprimatur of Boris Johnson, but you know what he's like. He doesn't do due diligence. Oh, yes, bluff. And over-promising, under-delivering. And it costs so much more than was projected. So, so much more. And these things, they usually cost more than the original estimate. But it was several times. It was just eye-wateringly expensive. And it wouldn't have been better to do several small projects rather than one gargantuan one. And the totality of the transport benefit of lots of little projects would probably be greater than this big fat one from London to Birmingham. There was talk of going all the way to Scotland. Well, fat chance of that. It's going to stop in Birmingham. So tens of billions of pounds spent to reduce the journey from what, like an hour and a half to an hour and 10 minutes or something. So a really terrible misallocation of resources there. And then obviously teacher salaries not keeping pace what they should be, and still faffing around the curriculum. They just never leave it alone. Every two or three years, the exam system changes. grade inflation got worse. Now, did bring in this new GCSE numerical grades. Now, has that sorted out grade inflation? I think it's premature. I think it's too early to say, but it might have done. My thing, and I've suggested this for 20 years, which is grade inflation proof, is just percentiles. That you came in the first percentile, you're equal to or above 1% of the population, the subject, or the fifth percentile, or the 27th percentile, or whatever. Now, the problem with that, headmistress pointed out to me, is what about ancient Greek? Because only brainy people do it. And to come and say the third percentile in ancient Greek might be better than coming the sort of 60th percentile in art. Oh, I'm mortally offended people doing art, but yeah. So then even fewer people would do the things which, you know, are perceived as tough subjects like economics, physics, or, you know, German or something like that. And that would be the end of modern languages, which declined as it is. And there's terrible indiscipline in schools. The paperwork is up to here. A headmistress I know said, you know, the Conservative Party is small government. And they're not. It's got worse. I remember Michael Howard, 2005, saying, put fat governments on a diet. They're going to slim down the civil service. And the Conservatives haven't. And the number of civil servants have increased and increased. Not anti-civil servants. Obviously, a country needs them. But you don't need so many. And they went out over 4% last year. I remember a Conservative saying to me, there's this idea that they're apolitical and they do their best to serve the government. But that is a myth. Of course, they're leftists. What would you expect? They're university graduates overwhelmingly. They live in cities overwhelmingly. They're under 67 overwhelmingly. All factors which correlate towards being anti-conservative voters. They're public sector workers and on and on. But you could still be a left winger and do your duty even-handedly, sincerely and honestly strive to carry out the instructions of progressive ability. But surely, some of them, even if subconsciously, are somewhat obstructive. What else? And then just wokery. I mean, flying these rainbow flags, all right, it's harmless. But Suella Braverman said she, as Home Secretary, ordered them not to do it, and they do it anyway and has no control over this. And censoring people's vocabulary and the cancel culture and universities not allowing people to do this and that, having to give trigger warnings and just turning people into crybabies, the people not free to say what they want, barring people from various occupations because of their opinions, discrimination in employment, it's terrible. And so the leftists have taken over. Unless you're actually left-winger, there are lots of jobs you're not allowed to do. What else? And the police obviously wasting their time policing Facebook posts or going on trans courses or racism courses, and the racism industry making way more money. Now, I don't want anyone to be mistreated on the grounds of race. Of course not. But I'm very skeptical about these so-called experts on race preaching to us about what we have to do and think. And I remember one of my friends, and it's actually in the private sector, being told to run a gay-friendly household. He's straight. Now, he's not homophobic in the least. But why on earth should his company interfere with what he does in his house about who he invites as his guests or something like that? It's preposterous. Goodness. So Conservatives had failed on multiple fronts. And Brexit, there haven't been significant economic benefits. And all these trade deals, are they more advantageous than what the United Kingdom and the European Union? I don't know. If it is, the Conservative Party has not got that across to the public. So all sorts of failures. A lot of minor public bus routes were cut and much harder for people to get to work. Now, admittedly, since HS2 was Act, the extension, then some of that money is going to minor bus routes now. There's been a lot of train strikes, you know, doctor strikes, nurses strikes, and so on. I mean, I knew a psychiatrist consultant. He said, you know, I really desperately don't want to, but I will strike. If patients die, it is not my fault. But we begged and we pleaded, we beseeched them, we implored them for years and years and years. Our entreaties fell upon deaf ears, and eventually we have to stand up for ourselves. They're 35% off, worse off in real terms than they were in 2008. 35%. Now, that's probably exaggeration, but it's something big. I think I told you I was offered a job last year, and it was the same salary, not that I'm a doctor, the same salary as I paid 15 years earlier. 15 years. You think of the inflation in that time. And of course, more experience and qualifications I got at that time. Now, admittedly, that's not really the public sector. And then the house is not keeping pace with things, which is one of the many reasons why the younger generation is turning against the Conservative Party. People under 30 always were mostly anti-conservative, but they're massively anti-conservative now. But that's partly because of the Maoist madrasas that the universities are these days, being propagandized by the far left. So numerous failures. And then Boris Johnson's dishonesty, his hypocrisy, breaching lockdown and so on, not firing Dominic Cummings when he breached the rules by a few hundred miles, just atrocious dishonesty. Anything else? Well, Liz Truss was clearly a cataclysmic choice. And that economic seismic event, the Conservative Party is going to take a very, very long time to live that one down. Whenever Labour screws up, that'll always be thrown back at the Conservative Party. Well, thank you for watching. Goodbye.